You're listening to the Bridgeway Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit bridgewaychurch.com.
Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. May God bless the preaching of his word. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jonna. As you can tell, we've got a little bit different, vibe or look in the room today. We've got signs on the walls with the areas that our community groups are within the city. We've got chairs up on the stage with me. So let me let you know where we're going so you can expect that and to be in prayer for me as I lead my portion today. So I'm going to preach a shorter sermon today. That'll give me a little bit of time for Ryan and I. We've got some community group leaders that we've asked to come and join us on stage. We're going to ask some questions of them. So hopefully you can be encouraged of how our groups operate within community, within studying God's word and practicing the gifts, being on mission together. So that will kind of take up the normal sermon portion as we take an excursus from Ephesians, but you see we're in Acts chapter 2 today. After we do this portion, we're going to commission some groups. So I'm going to ask the elders that are available, community group deacons, if they'd like to and are available as well, to come and lay hands on these new groups. We've got four new groups that are starting now or within the next month or so. So we praise the Lord for that. And then after the service, after the benediction, and we do some ministry time, I want to encourage you to go and maybe wherever you are in the city, maybe you're near Midwest City and you're going to go back here and just hang out at that table for just a few minutes, be introduced to the Nelsons, and ask them when they meet, what their group might look like, and get some information. So I want to encourage you with that. So please be in prayer for me as I'm speaking, as I'm encouraging you all, and as we go throughout the day. So Roy started his portion of the video saying he was an introvert. Imagine that. Where's Roy? Is Roy in here? He's in the back. Okay, he's out there. But I appreciate him saying that, just leading with that, because it takes all of us growing in groups. We can have introverts. We can have extroverts, people that come and never speak to people who maybe should speak three words less in our groups. That's not any of us, but maybe somebody. I don't know. Probably me. Did he say that right after I said me? Yeah, he did. Thanks, Don. So last night, and we say things for purpose, right? So Roy was saying that to say, you know, I'm an introvert, and yet, you know, this is how I'm blessed. So here's a funny, real quick story. My mom and dad are visiting, and it's their 50th anniversary yesterday. So we took them out to, yeah. I'm not going to ask them to stand or anything. You can find them later. So we went to the Hefner Grill, and we asked for the seat by the window so we could see the lake and all this. And I don't know why I do the things I do. And you should ask my daughter. She was immediately embarrassed. What would you like to eat? I'd like to eat this. What would you like to eat? So it comes to me, and like Roy says, I'm an introvert. I say, I'm gluten-free. And the lady's like, okay. And I'm like, I just said that so you would know when I order this, you can mark it. And Maya's going, Dad, oh. So we say things on purpose, right, for a reason. Hi, my name's Toby. I'm gluten-free. And I use three words too many. So we're in Acts chapter 2, and what I want to do today is go through 37 through 47 and ask several questions that the text naturally asks, and then as we go through those, we can answer those with the scripture that we see in Acts 2, 37 through 47. And basically what I'm doing is I'm going to show you who we are in Jesus, and then why we do what we do as a church, and then within groups. Like, just look back to the basics, right? We're not special, we're not unique, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. So today, all that we're doing is a really special moment in our church family. We're highlighting the role of community groups in the life of Bridgeway, in our 30-year life. We've called it all sorts of different things. So these groups, what we do is we grow in as disciples. We meet regularly. We grow in the Word, practice spiritual gifts, and we live on mission together. And my prayer is that as we read through Scripture, these are the things that you'll see in Acts chapter 2. So you might be asking, you know, what do groups do? They should be doing iterations of this, right? And every group is different, every group is organic, and has different personalities. But my prayer is that when we go to group and we have our community, that when we read Acts chapter 2, we can say, oh, this is normative. This is kind of what we do. And this vision, it flows directly out of Bridgeway's larger church vision and mission. So it's not any side separate thing. Groups operate under the umbrella of Bridgeway Church. We operate in conjunction with the ministry of the church. And so it's a place that we can grow together as family. So as we celebrate what God is doing through groups today, I want to pause with some gratitude. We've been doing this for 30 years. And Bridgeway has been blessed with leaders for 30 years who have stayed true to God's word, to the principles that we see in Scripture. And I'm so very thankful for our heritage of that. And so our leaders and those who are mature in Jesus have been keeping us striving toward the vision and mission for the gospel. So today we're standing on those folks' shoulders. So if you've been here for 20, 25, 30 years, praise Jesus. Thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. So Lord, I'm so thankful for today and for this opportunity to preach from your word. And Father, I pray that everything that is said, that it blesses you. It blesses those who are listening, that believers can be encouraged. Maybe those who are on the fence can see that what your word is calling them to do and to be. And those who are beginning to discover who you are will see the call in their life to repent of their sin, to cry out to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. And not just be involved in community groups, that's really not the huge point. The point is to be in community with a fellowship of believers who love each other. And so I pray, Father, that that folks would do that and that we would see the one anothering happening and your spirit would convict, would cajole, would pull toward community. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So what we see is a biblical pattern of disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and we've seen that throughout Bridgeway's church history. I want to remind us that we're really, we think we're unique, and we kind of are, but not really. We shouldn't be that unique, right? Within Bridgeway's history, within the 30 years of Bridgeway, we've called them house churches, small groups, care groups, community groups, but they've all done the same sort of thing, right? If you went back 20 years and asked the group's pastor, the house church pastor, what is the mission and vision, it would have, the wording would have been really close, and we would have got it from the same book, the same scripture. Other churches call them Sunday school classes, home groups, fellowship groups. Some churches call them hubs or large gatherings, local gatherings. Who has fond memories of Sunday school? The bad coffee and stale donuts, the pictograms. Carrie, what are those called? The flanographs, flannelgrams. Flannelgrams. Yeah. So since we're in the questioning mood today, let's start with why. Why do local churches all do essentially the same thing in groups, but they call them different things? So I told Tracy Gines I'd call him out, and this is where I want to call Tracy Gines out, just because I'm going to alliterate. And so Tracy's a good Baptist pastor, and he knows about alliteration. So why do we call them different things? Number one, because of a command. Scripture commands us to community. When we look at Acts, this is where they go, and this is the natural outpouring of that. Number two, commonality. We read from the same book. We have the same spirit. So there's no surprise there, right? Why are we not unique? Why do all the churches do the same thing? Because the commonality. When we read this, we say, oh, the conclusion should be, you know, if we say X, Y, it should be Z. And then Tracy C is craving. God built us for an innate desire to be in community, to be in fellowship, to grow, to serve together, worship, build friendships for his glory. The normal thing to do is to be in community of some sort. It's abnormal when we're not, if we're believers and we're not. So that's to not give you the huge guilt trip. But I want to encourage you, if you're not in community, to find community of some sort. So the main idea of what we're looking at today is that, and this will be on the screen so you can read as I go, disciples of Jesus unite in teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer, inspiring awe, generosity, joy, and daily growth in their community. So within this one sentence, we can answer all of the questions that we're asking, and the questions that we're going to ask today is, who are we, what do we do, and what is the outcome? So I'm going to go through those really briefly. Number one, question number one, who are we? This is found in verses 37 through 41. 37 says, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So they just heard this sermon. Peter's preaching to them, showing the Jews, the Jewish God-fearers, those that are coming in the city, that they're in sin. And these people respond with, brothers, what shall we do? So by this question, we can answer in 38 who we are. So who are we? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So first we see who we are is we're sinners. We're sinners separated from God. We have that in common, all of us, from the time we're born. And as we grow, we are sinners. It's innate. Notice that we have to try not to sin, right? I think it's everybody, right? We have to try not to sin. We all don't have to teach a class on sinning. It's pretty normal. Anybody who's a parent and has a 2 or 3 year old, you're like, oh, that is a sinning machine. Shouldn't be surprised. It came from me, but I didn't have to like show them all my little secret ways, right? They invented that. You're like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Now I do. So Romans 3:23, it reminds us that all have sinned. The Greek word for all is all. It's everybody. And we have fallen short of his glory. So what do? We look back at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and we see the solution to our problem and the answer to our question. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Friends, the Bible is calling all of us to repent from our sins and to turn to him. We're agreeing that he is right and we are wrong. And then we follow in baptism. We are publicly identifying with Jesus and committing to him as a disciple. We are not placing another sticker on our bottle and just kind of like adding that to it, right? Got a few right there. We're not just adding another sticker and we're going, oh, we're in good shape. We're something completely new. So who are we? We are disciples of Jesus. That is the answer to that question. We are disciples of Jesus. Question number two, what do we do? Verse 42, we commit to the basics. We commit ourselves to the basics. So 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. They devoted themselves. The construction of the phrase in Greek, it means emphasized, continuous, or ongoing action in a vivid way. So Peter is using this construction basically to say, this is an ongoing pattern of life. It's not something we do for a time. It's not something that's good when we're excited about Jesus when we first get saved. This is something we do. And I think the Spirit gives us that desire to go, I should be doing this, right? And it does flow, right? There's times where you stop for a little bit. There's times where you move and you try to build new community. Don't hear me on that and come to me later and say, but you said what the principle is, that this is a normal ongoing pattern of life. So what did they do? There's some scholarly debate on how to break up those things, but we're going to look at them as four distinct pieces. They are teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So the teaching, it could be evangelistic or discussion-based. Most likely it was some kind of, and during this context, it was some kind of exposition based on historical books, the Torah, the prophets, tying that into the gospel. So these apostles were walking with Jesus, and they were saying, okay, here's what the word says, and as we walk with Jesus, here's it, what we do, and it's in him incarnate. So they're teaching that. Number two, there's fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia, or partnership. If you were starting a new group and you wanted to name it, that'd be a good name, right? We're the koinonia group. We are the partnership, the fellowship group. So early believers use this word to refer to sharing with one another. Listen to what Craig Keener says regarding fellowship. He says, in light of early Christian teaching, this is not surprising fruit of Pentecost. Though Luke emphasized the Spirit's empowerment, especially toward verbal proclamation, the community effectively evangelizes here using or through its lifestyle. So hear me when I say this. We need to be verbalizing the gospel and behaving. It's not one or the other, right? It's not just, oh, I share the gospel with how I live. How are people going to see the gospel and how you live when they don't hear it preached? We have got to hear the word preached so we can know, oh, I am a sinner, not just, oh, I need to be better, a little bit better, you know, that guy's okay. Go hang out with him for 24 hours a day and see how awesome he is then, right? You'll be going, oh, your kids are just as broken as mine. Number three, breaking of bread. This indicates intimate fellowship, common meals, table fellowship, and we see examples from Luke chapter 22, 20, and Acts 20, and then prayers. There's an attitude of dependence of God, care for one another, communal worship of the body, the church body, and of the Lord. So, Lord, I do pray for our body. I pray that you will grow us. Father, I'm thankful for all the community groups that are represented here, for the folks that are pre-members, those that are having a really hard time, and those who are so joyous in you. And, Lord, thank you for this body. Thank you for bringing us here. Amen. We can stop anytime. Close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Pray to Jesus and be thankful for him. So what do? We commit ourselves to the basics: teaching, fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. Amen. Number three, what is the outcome? The outcome is this. Let's look through the rest of the verses. Awe came upon every soul. Do you remember a time that you were walking with Jesus and you just had awe? Like he is working in such a powerful way in your life that you almost can't explain it. I was sharing this story with my dad the other day. It's so simple, and it's one of the things that the Lord just humbled me. We moved into our house. I dropped a nut or a bolt or something like that in my side yard, and it was one of those special ones that I was going to have to go get. I was mad. I was having a hard time with something. And Christy said, comes out and says, what's your problem? I said, I'm upset. I've dropped this nut. And she's like, is that really a reason to get all torqued like you are? And I said, probably not, but it's like I've hit all the things, right? That nut threw me over the edge, and I can't find it. And she said, well, have you asked Jesus to help you find the nut? And I'm like, do you think that Jesus cares about this nut? And she's like, I think he cares about you. And you are really upset about this silly nut. And I was like, I think you're right. So Jesus, can you help me find this nut? There it was. And I'm like, it was a nut that goes on a bolt that I was just going to have to run to Ace. And, I could get it. But Jesus is like, hey, I love you. There's the nut. All you have to do is ask, and I'll show you right where it is, right? I'd look for 30 minutes for the thing. I could have went to Ace and back. Awe came over my soul for the nut. Signs and wonders are being done through the apostles. They were finding all kinds of nuts and bolts there. Believers together, they were together and they shared. They took care of each other by selling possessions and distributing the proceeds of those in need. And believers met regularly. They broke bread in their home. They had glad hearts. Wow. Imagine that. And they praised the Lord. So due to the evidence with Jesus in their lives, not just that they were living this nice life, but evidence of Jesus in their lives, they had favor with all the people. Friends, this is you and I. This is where we need to be. We do it awesome here, right? But when we leave and we have group on Sunday and we have group on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, how about we extend some of that to say to our brother who needs to hear it, hey, have you asked Jesus to help you find that nut? Hey, can I encourage you with this word? How about we take a meal over to you guys' house this week? Hey, they're having a really hard time this week. Is there any way that we can come and lighten some of that load? And some of the best way to do that is to just do it, right? Because if you ask me, if you can, hey, can I lighten some of your load? I'm going to go, what? Say what? Patty, I'm fine. I don't need any help. I'm good, right? I'm good. You guys don't help me right now. But folks in your group, ask them, how are you? You can hear it in their voice, and then take that step. Love them really well. And then the Lord added people through salvation. So who are we? We're disciples of Jesus. What do? We commit ourselves to the basics. And what is the outcome? The Lord grows his family. So the outcome is the Lord grows his family. You're an awesome group leader, but you shouldn't be growing your group. Let the Lord do that, right? Don't put that on yourself. Let the Lord minister through you and how he's gifted you. What's the outcome? The Lord grows his family. We're not looking for numbers, but we're looking for folks to grow a healthy, healthy community where you're at and all throughout the city. At the end of the service, Ryan is going to pray, lead us in prayer for the areas where we are praying for new groups. We don't have any group in the village. We need two groups south of the village, and we need groups in Edmond and Northwest OKC with kiddos. I'm encouraging the groups with kiddos. Like if you're running 8, 12 people, that's enough because you got 47 kids. I'm just throwing it out there, right? So those groups that have 47 kids, let's talk about multiplying so you can be healthy, so you can do all these things that we're talking about. So those that were committed to do interviews, and Ryan, I'm going to pray, and then while I'm praying, maybe you can make your way up here and we can get into an interview time. So Lord, I'm so grateful for this time with our church body. Father, I pray that the folks who are here today who aren't in you would recognize from Acts chapter 2 that we need to repent of our sins and cry out to Jesus, and that they can receive the Holy Spirit and that he will absolutely change them. So that invitation, if that's you, I would love to chat with you. There'll be folks at the MAP, our community group leaders would love to chat with you. And Father, we're so thankful for our leaders, our group leaders, those that come to group every week, those that tirelessly minister to people throughout the week in their group, and that those that have led in the past are not leading right now. So very thankful for the ministry that they have poured into our church and our church body for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay.
Okay. I don't know any rhyme or reason how we're going to do this. So I'll just give you guys the mic first. I think that's, we're starting with you guys.
Yep.
Toby and I will just ask questions, maybe ones that you guys know, maybe not. We'll see.
They've been fully prepped, so if they misbehave, it's on them. Bring the complaints to these people after, please. Tracy, thanks for letting me use you as a prop a while ago. I know I can always do that for you. So Tracy and Cynthia, and by his providence, that was turned off right then. Tracy and Cynthia, tell us a little about your group, when you meet, what it's like, and who's a part of it.
We meet on Sundays, 4 to 6. People arrive. We have snacks out for everybody. Probably spend the first 15-20 minutes just fellowshipping, just getting to know each other, just catching up, talking. Conversations are always happening. And then we move into a kind of a large group time. We have kids in our group, so we invite the kids to come in. We kind of have an opening question. Then we dismiss the kids to go and have their own time with supervision, by the way. Then we do Bible study, where it's just kind of a discussion. I teach, but it's really a good conversation and dialogue. Then we have prayer time. Sometimes it's prophetic. Sometimes it's just laying hands on people, putting people in the middle. When we conclude, sometimes people don't leave until 7 o'clock, even though we ended at 6. So it's just a good time. That's just a basic format that we have.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, so Cynthia, you're kind of known for, are you scared of what I'm about to say? You're known for being intentional with women in your group, connecting with them, pouring into them. So tell us a little bit about why you do that and how that looks week to week.
Well, I think why I do it is because I love the women in my group. And I feel like it's important for people to feel connected and valued. What that looks like week to week is, sometimes I reach out through text. If somebody has shared something in the group that's going on in the next week, I really try to follow up with that. Sometimes I meet with women for lunch. I call and sometimes pray over the phone. If there's a need, I might go and pray in person. Just different things like that.
Thanks.
Amen. Thank you. So what happens when people feel cared for and followed up with? How have you seen that impact relationships and spiritual growth in your group?
I think that when we follow up with people, what we've found is that people feel like they belong, and they feel loved. And so we all want to belong someplace. We all want to be loved. And by doing that, that action fosters a great environment. And what we begin to see is that as we've done that, it begins to percolate, and they start doing it towards each other. They call each other. And now most of a lot of the care that happens in our group is really coming from each other. They're following up. They're having conversations. And the way that it impacts spiritual growth is when you're receiving love, it's like receiving love from the Father, and it overflows. And that's part of the spiritual growth, I think, that's happening, is because people are becoming vulnerable. They're becoming confident and courageous to share what's going on in their life. And so we see a lot of growth that's happening. Not necessarily, I would say, they're becoming biblical scholars by any means, but what's happening is they're understanding what it means to have a relationship with the Father and understanding what it means to have a relationship with each other in the body.
Amen. And one last question for you all. Sometimes people wonder if joining a group will really make a difference in their walk with Christ. What would you say to someone who is hesitant about jumping into a group?
Well, I think joining a group takes a lot of courage. We have a young single girl in our group who was new to Bridgeway and came to our group not knowing anyone. And I have just really been impressed over the last year with her courage, because I've thought a lot about how much courage it takes to join a group where you don't necessarily know people and they aren't necessarily your good friends. But what I have seen is that joining a group where it isn't necessarily all of your good friends, it allows you to learn to operate more like the body of Christ. And that there's a lot of iron on iron, and what we found is that those people become your good friends, and they maybe weren't people you would naturally migrate towards, but you find these gems in people that you didn't know. And just this morning I was thinking about Hebrews 12:1, and it just kind of reminded me of group, and it says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And that's what I found in our group anyway, is that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We are in a group with people who are wanting to walk with Jesus and grow. And it has allowed us to begin to throw off those things that entangle us and to run alongside each other or cheer each other on. And there's a vulnerability that's come from being in group together.
Amen.
That I think you miss if you're not in a group.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. The next set is for, and Cynthia's serving with kids today, so she's doing double duty. The next set are the Mosleys, Todd and Julie. And Julie is so courageous today.
I'm Julie, and I'm an introvert.
I think Julie is only up here because I think she loves me, and that's probably it. So we serve in the same group together. So Julie, tell us a little bit about your group and what it looks like when you gather and how awesome I am.
Yes. We meet on Wednesday nights. On the first Wednesday night, we have a meal together. We're comprised of both couples and singles in our group. On two Wednesday nights of the week, kind of bi-weekly, we have a D group where we have more transparency and accountability with each other. On the other two, we're typically going through a book of the Bible with lots of great teachers in our group that take turns leading that, so they're getting to use their gifts, and that's pretty amazing to have so many people that get to participate in the group.
Amen. And your group makes studying the Bible central. We kind of like to say we're kind of nerdy, probably, a little bit. How do you keep Scripture at the heart of what you do together?
Well, in my mind, that's the reason we're coming together. Is to do that. Of course, the relationship part is important for us to have, and that's where the accountability and things come in, but we specifically set out to do that. We have worship each night with the YouTube thing. We only have one person that's gifted in that singing, thank goodness. But anyway, we do that, and then we have prayer weekly too with that. Every week we do that together, but the Bible is the main reason that we're here. So that's what
Amen.
We do.
Amen. Thank you.
So you guys also do a good job about making time and space for people to use their gifts. So how does that look for when you guys gather? What's it look like to create that space for people to use their spiritual gifts? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we're the poster children for it. I think we kind of muddle through it, and we try to make space for it, but we're continuously learning. So what typically we do is kind of after worship, we'll take a little bit of time and just ask folks to be quiet and listen to see if the Lord puts something on their heart, whether it's another person or a word or a sense, and then we do a lot of praying for folks. So instead of tacking it onto the end, we try to make it more to the center and kind of let the Holy Spirit lead. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's better than others.
Awesome, thanks.
Yep, and one more. Todd, what difference does it make when a group not only studies the Word, but also prays for one another, listens to the Spirit, and then uses gifts to serve each other?
Yeah, well, I just think we as a church and a body have a responsibility to help people learn and use their gifts. And so we did a gifts assessment deal and found out kind of how people were gifted. And we want to let those folks practice, for lack of a better term, in our group. So we have a lot of teachers. We have some people who are prophetic. We have some people with gifts of healing. And so we try to give them an opportunity to do that. I just think the easiest place to practice, if you will, is in a group setting, where if somebody has a picture or a word and they say, well, I see this thing, but I'm not sure what it means, then we can kind of process together. It's where everybody kind of knows the rules. It's a safe environment. The bar is fairly low. You know, if you miss it, you miss it in love. And so we just want people to feel comfortable to learn and use their gifts.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so these are the clothes and Mr. Nelson. So the Nelsons from the Midwest City group is being sent from the Klo and Osborne group. So tell us a bit about your group and how God has been shaping your vision for mission.
Jason and I co-lead with Christina and Cole Osborne. We meet in Arcadia at the wonderful Susan and Rod Gertzen's house. They're a house host. They're sitting right over there. We should call them out. They're amazing. We meet on Wednesday nights. We really need a midweek Jesus group. We can't put it all in one day. We really like to split it up because we're sinners, you know. We also meet every week at 6 p.m., and we do a girls group, all group, guys group, and then we share a meal. Although we love to eat, so I think we normally have food at a lot of them. I think, like you said, like the question says, what is God doing to lead us in our missions? We went into this group essentially when we took over in 2020 with a vision of what we wanted and what we wanted to do and how we wanted to lead, and we quickly realized that it's not about us. It's about what God's plan is and what He wants us to do. And the things that He was able to do and shape us and use things that was going on in the world and, sure. and later on at Bridgeway and things like that, and Him use that for His good. So originally we focused on really trying to just one another during 2020 when we were meeting via Zoom. We shifted to doing a lot more things missionally. When we had a bunch of people in our group and would put together care packages and things like that and for the homeless. And I think right now it's really just one anothering and really shifting our focus to be missional even within Bridgeway and try to reach out and get people to join our group. I mean, it is the Lord that's doing that, but He's going to use us to try that as well. So anybody that sits by us, I'm usually like, hey, where are you going to group? Are you sure you love it there? Because you can come to our group.
Wow, she's poaching.
We're not poachers. If you're happy where you're at, that's fantastic. But we have an amazing group and we really enjoy it. And so you're always welcome to come and try ours.
Yeah. Thank you. So in Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas for the sake of the gospel. How has this passage inspired you to think about your own group?
I think, for me, one of the things about that passage that really stands out is the emphasis on prayer and the scary word, fasting. You notice that they were praying, and then they get the word from the Lord that they're supposed to be set out, and then they take that step that has always boggled me, get my mind around. It's like, I've prayed very many times for the will of the Lord. And, you know, man, once you get that word, I would have been like, okay, let's go get some sandwiches and some travel plans for Paul and Barnabas. But they pray and then they fast again. It's like there's an understanding that there is an equipping that God does, and you're drawing on that power. That power is there for you for a reason. So I think that's one of the things that we, you know, been focusing on is prayer.
Amen. Thank you. What does it look like to have a sending mindset in your community group, not just gathering for ourselves, but multiplying so more people can hear and see the gospel.
Yes, so I was part of their group, and that was a big thing, you know, God was teaching me, is that it's not just taking, but you're getting equipped to go and to start the mission and to, you know, bring others to know Jesus better and to do his will. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the mission. You're not just here to get, you're here to give. So, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you. That's good. So, last question here. If people are hearing you and you're stepping out, starting a new group, and what would you say to someone who's in a group now and starting to feel kind of the Holy Spirit nudging them to take that step and to start a group or step out? What kind of counsel would you give them?
Just do it. The Lord's going to meet your need. He's going to give you all the grace you need. Everything's going to work out. It's going to be hard, but just do it.
It's going to be hard, but everything will work out. That's good. That's reality. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. So, Father, we are so very grateful for these leaders, for their groups, those that are represented on the stage here today and those that are represented in the room. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. We pray that they will be a place of community, of Bible study, of growing in the gifts, and of having that sent mindset, even a preparation today for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so y'all can... And at this time, I want to call those that are the new groups. I want to call you up here along with our elders and community group deacons. Yeah, there's Derek is one of them. So we have the Nelsons, the Smiths, Dowdells, and Patterson, Crockett, White. So we've been praying for a group in our zip code, and the Patterson, Crockett, and White group will start in the next month or two. Or three. They'll let us know. All right, we've got everybody? Okay. Jesus, we are so grateful for these couples that represent godly homes that want to glorify you and magnify your name, see disciples being made, disciples being sent. And Lord, we encourage them, we lift them up, and as the church in Acts 13 did, we send them as new groups with glad hearts. And so Father, we ask that you bless their efforts. Father, we ask that you encourage them as they work as healthy leaders, growing up co-leaders and apprentices, extra homes that they can meet in so that no one has the one burden. And help us as a church to encourage them, to ask them really good questions, to see when they need a break, and to see when they need some extra care and love. So, Lord, I'm so thankful for our elders and our deacons placing hands on these couples, signifying that we are in agreement, that we are sending, and that we bless them as they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.